Okay, we're in Perek Dalet on Hilchos Yontov, Halacha Vav, and we're dealing with a continuation of the, specifically this was dealing with Havara. We're going to extend to other categories of Malacha as well, and we're dealing with the extent of what you're permitted to do Malacha-wise in Yontov, balanced against what is the importance of Simchas Yontov. And this tension presents itself throughout the upcoming halachas. So you'll kind of get a sense of, you'll see exactly the limitation, and there are very specific cases, but this theme reiterates itself constantly through these various halachas. So halacha vav, the Rambam says, Eima ashnin biktoras biyomtov meishuhu mechaveh. So you're not allowed to burn incense on yomtov, because in doing so, you're going to end up doing a form of kibbuy. Va'afil lahariachba. Okay, so I'm not even allowed to do it in order just to smell the incense. And of course, if my intention is to go ahead and make everything in my house smell very good. However, but I'm allowed to go ahead, for example, and smoke fruits, smoke being ma'ashe, not to smoke the fruit, but to smoke the fruit, meaning like you would smoke meat, that I'd be allowed to do for anyantov. Maskin as a chardal begachelosh emateches. So there was something they used to do where they would sweeten mustard using a hot coal. Avalo begachelosh eitz neishu mechabe. But you can't use a piece of charred wood, because what could happen is that's going to end up being put out as a result. And of course, you're not allowed to go ahead and put out a fire. Because the reason why I want to put the fire out is because my house is getting very smoky. So that would not be a situation where a person would be allowed to put out the fire. Halacha Zion, ein noflim mapuach biyontov kdei shelo yase kederach sheumnen osin. So here's an interesting halacha. You're not allowed to use one of those bellows, like those accordion type thingies that they would use where they'd squeeze together and the air would blow out. So you're not allowed to use that to on a fire, which would make the fire bigger on Yontov, simply because that's what the experts would use. But you would be allowed to use a tube and blow through like a straw, for example, and to make a fire bigger. So that you'd be allowed to do. Ein osin pechamim. All right, so you're not allowed to make, literally means charcoal, which they would use wick ends to make out of. It doesn't mean like we think like a piece of black charcoal, but it actually was the singed end of a wick. Vein golin es apsila lo mahavin osav lo chutkun osav shnayim bekli. And not only that, you're not allowed to make braids out of wicks or singe them with which again, singeing is because it's going to end up running to problems of kibbuy. Nor can I cut it into two. Aval mamacha biyad v'shoros sabashemen, but I am allowed to squeeze them in my hands, and I'm allowed to soak them in oil. Ubanichanosa bein shteineros, and I'm allowed to put it in between two oil lamps. Umadlik beemsa, right, and it'll be lit in the middle. V'nimsa sapsila nechleches befish teineros. So in that situation, I can have one wick that will, in a sense, share two oil lamps, and in doing so, it will eventually split into two. That actually be permitted to do. So in that instance of havara, that would not be considered a problem. Okay, lachaches ein shoven es acheres. So you're not allowed to take a piece of a ceramic kli and break it. Vein choskin es a niyar, and I can't. One second. Vein choskin es a niyar litzlos aleim, and I'm not allowed to cut like a piece of paper to use to, for instance, to roast things. Vein potzen es a kane lasoso kemoshvud latzlos bomliach, and also. I'm not allowed to take a reed and split it to go ahead and make a shvud, which, if you remember, that's a spit that I would use to go ahead, for example, and roast meat on it. Okay. Now, however, shvud shenirtsof, let's say I have a spit that I use and it gets bent. Afal pishu yachol lefashto biyado, aim atakten oso. So even though I could fix the spit, by straightening it out, that I'm allowed to do. I would not be allowed to misaken it on yontif. So let's say a factory produced two cups that were attached to each other at the in production. Gagon shtein neiros o shnei kosos. like for instance, like two candles, as an example, ain pokesinus on the shnayim eshum misakin kli. So I can't split them because now what I'm doing is I'm doing a version of tikkun kli. So again, you're seeing these limitations insofar as what you are not allowed to do on yontif. Okay, halacha tes ein mashchizin es ha sakin b'mashchezes shela. Okay, so this refers to sharpening knives. I can't use a knife sharpener and sharpen my knife with that. Aval mechad al gabe eitz al gabe cheres o evan. But it doesn't mean I can't sharpen a knife. I just can't use the sharpening stone that is made for that specific knife. But I could, for example, use a piece of wood to sharpen it or stone. Ve'morim davar zel rabim kedei shlo yivo lechad al mashchezes. But don't let people know about this, because if they know, then they're going to think that you can go ahead and use a sharpener. So, okay. So when is this applied? It applies to when the knife basically is very difficult to use, or there's like a nick in the knife, okay, preventing me from using it, like for shchita, for example. Aval im ein yachol lachtoch klal, but let's say I can't use a knife at all. And I can't sharpen it at all. So it's interesting. If the knife was essentially unusable, let's say it was so dull that it didn't cut at all, then I wouldn't be allowed to sharpen it in any way, shape, or form. The reason why is not because the kli doesn't work, but more because it'll come to you to use the sharpener made for that knife. So now the Rambam explains. That's why it's usher to take your sharp knife and show it to a chacham on yontov shema tia peguma, right? Because he'll look at it to see maybe he'll find some type of nick in the knife. The yomer lo usher l'shchopa mishum b'kimasa. And as we know, the halacha is if there's a nick in a knife, you can't use it to shecht an animal, right? And what's going to happen is the yelech v'yichadna mashchezes. And of course, the problem will be is that the person after he hears the psak of his rav. That there's a pagam in the knife, he's going to want to fix the knife, and he's going to go after that sharpener to use it. The chacham shira sakin la'atzmo harizim mashil amaretz. But if the chacham looks at his own knife and checks it out, then he's allowed to go ahead and lend it out to an amaretz. That won't be the problem. But we don't. The chacham has to turn away checking out the knife of the average person because the concern is that if he finds a pagam, that person will go ahead and seek out the mashchezes. And then he'll be over that iser. Okay, halacha yud. Okay, ein mevaken eitzim yomtov lo bekordom lo magav lo megira. All right, so you're not allowed to chop trees. Okay, you can't chop trees in yomtov. It doesn't matter what kind of normal. These are all examples of like axes and things of that nature. However, ela bekofitz. Okay, you can use a kofitz, which is a mini axe. Okay, it was used like by butchers. It's like one of those, like almost like a cleaver type thing that you're allowed to use. Ubitzada chadshalo, but you have to use the sharp side. So you'd be able to use. See again, notice it's not an intrinsic iser. You can do it as long as there's some type of shinoi. Then it'd be mutter to do. Okay. Aval lo bitzada racha meishu kekordom. But I can't use the wider side of it because that would be considered like using like an axe. Velama asru bekordom, right? And so why do they say you can't use an axe? Why can't I use an axe to chop down wood? Because you want to differentiate between his yomtov practice and his weekday practice. And again, going back to that point, he could have chopped the wood on erev yomtov, but now the Rambam says v'lamalo nesar bikua klal, right? But one second, so now why not just aser chopping wood in its entirety? Because it could be he's going to come along to a very thick piece of wood, and he won't be able to, it can't catch fire, right? And because he can't get it to catch fire, he's not going to cook, right? That's why they really said it's allowed to chop wood with a shinoi, okay? So again, it's also always interesting how the Rambam waits until now to tell us this guiding principle, but the principle, as I said in the beginning, is a very simple principle. Well, simple in the sense that on the one hand, we want to make sure that, for example, if there's something he can do on Erev Yontov, he should do it. You just can't do any malacha you want to for the purpose of food on Yontov. On the other hand, we want to make sure the person has a very happy Yontov. And if the guy can't chop this piece of wood and therefore he's not going to cook on Yontov, that takes away from Simchas Yontov, and that would be a problem as well. So Chazal is trying to strike this very, very difficult balance between these two issues. Halach Yud Aleph. Lotikanes Isha ben Eitzim Litzol Mehen Od Litzlos Bo. Okay, so a woman is, not, and it's not just limited to a woman, but a woman's not allowed to walk among, go into the woods, okay, to seek out branches or piles of wood that she could now use basically to for a spit. So that she's not allowed to do for a shvud. Vein sobchen es akadera velo es adelas bebikal shalkora. You're not allowed to support like a pot, for example, using a wooden beam. Shlohi tiru l'tatal eitzim biyantov ela lahasaka bovad. Because they only allow you to move wood for one purpose, for burning it. So again, you have this very interesting thing where you can only move like let's say a piece of wood around if it's for some purpose that has to do with burning, which again is supposed to be tied to cooking and ochel nefesh. Halacha Yud Beis. Okay, now we're going to move to something a little bit different. This is more of a bona issue, and if you notice again, the Rambam's going through a lot of our Shabbos malachas in a subtle way and showing how they would work on Yontov. So Halacha Yud Beis is misalkin trisei chanios. So you're allowed to go ahead and remove the literally means the shutters from the storefront. Umachzir nosam biyontov, and you can return them back in place. So let's say in the store, in my store in the shuk, I keep my better spices, my fancy garlic. So I want to use that. So I'm allowed to go ahead and since my store was shuttered before Yontov started, I can remove the shutter, go in there and take out my spices, so I don't lose out on Simchas Yontov. However, what's the qualification? The hinge has to be in the middle. Aval yeshlahen tzir min atzad. Right, which I'd say most of ours are probably like today. If the hinges are on either side, aser gzema shema itakea. But that's aser for me to take it out, because then what I'm going to do is I'm going to go ahead and put it back in and lock it back in place. Now be a problem. Ushein lahen sir kol ikar afilu bayis mutar lahachzir. And of course, if there are no hinges on the shutters at all, let's say like for instance our trisim that go up and down in Eretz Yisrael, then it's perfectly mutar to go ahead and raise them and or whatever, open them as needed. Okay, Lach Yud Gimel, Kelim Shehem Befutsalin. Okay, if you recall, we had that by Bona and Makke Bepatish. You have these Kelim, these utensils that are made out of parts. Okay, they're detachable. Kegom Menorah Shachalios. If you recall, that's the candelabra, or Bekisei Veshulchan Shein Chatikos. Or you have the chair and the table that are made out of pieces that lock into each other. Ma'amidin Olsam Biyamta V'Hu Shelo Yitakea. So you're allowed to go ahead and put them together as long as you don't firmly attach the pieces to each other. The Vishain Binyan Mekalim. That's a Shabbos idea, because there's no Binyan by Kalim. Avonim Shal Beis Akisei, we also saw this. You're allowed to go ahead and stack stones for the purpose of creating like a bathroom, a toilet of sorts. Mutalit Sadanam Biyamtov. So you're allowed to put them in place in Yamtov. Binyan Arayhu Mishim Kvoto Lo Gazru. Since it's a temporary structure that you're building, and it's for basically, Kavod Abrios. A person has to have be able to use the bathroom as he sees fit. Okay, Halacha Yudalid. Ha'osa Medura B'Yantav. Okay, so someone makes a fire on Yantav. Kishu Orech Eitzim. When he starts setting up the wood. Now, this is like, think of a bonfire. Okay, if a person's making a bonfire, often you'll stack wood. You're not allowed to do that. Eimaniach Zeal Gabezeh Achi Yastiha Maracha Nation Yira Kibona. So you can't stack it. What this also alludes to is, for instance, at the Beis HaMikdash, there was a very precise way they would stack the wood on top of the Mizbeach. So imagine sort of like, two pieces of wood this way, kind of a square, and then building on top of that square, 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 square. Can't do that with your logs. Afi shu binyan arai usher. Even though it's really a temporary building, it's usher to do. Ela o shofech eitzim b'irbuv orech b'shinoi. But you have two ways to get around it. Either just spill the logs on the ground, meaning don't put them in any order, or build them in a way where it's a shinui. Ketzad, how would the shinui work? Meniach eitz lamala, or meniach achar tachtav, v'acher tachtav, achu magil aretz. Basically, he's saying you build it from the top down. I'm not quite sure the logistics of this, but basically, if you build it from the top down, that's a shinui in how you're building the maracha, and then it'll be mutter to do. So in making a bonfire, again, even though Havaras Eish is mutter, you're allowed to make a fire on you can't start it, but you can transfer the fire and make a bonfire on Yontov. You just have to do it in a way where it's slightly removed from the normal way the malacha exists. Halacha tesvav vechein akadera. And when it comes to, for instance, a pot, oches osa umachnis avanim tachdea. So when you have a pot, what you should do is you should hold the pot in your hand, and then with one hand, and then put the stones which are being used, what do you call it? Let's say this to as a base for the pot underneath it. Aval lo yanichena al gabe avanim. But you shouldn't put the kadera onto the stones. Rather, you should hold the kadera and have the stones underneath it, not the other way around. Okay, let's say you're putting up a bed. So you hold, for instance, the beams or the boards on top, and then you put the legs of the bed underneath it. Even when it comes to, let's say, you're stacking eggs. Right, so you shouldn't make them like stack them in a way where they come to be like a tower. Eli Yishana v'yaschil milmalamata. Again, you would start from the top and work your way down. V'chein kol kuyotzu b'zet tzarech shinui. So in any case of bone be'arai, you're really supposed to go ahead and try to change the way you do it as much as possible. Okay, switching gears a little bit. Halacha tes zayin. Mesirin zuvin hanitalim bebehema afi shein osin chabur. So let's say you have your dog has fleas. You're allowed to go ahead and remove the fleas from the animal, right? Even though it's going to cause some type of wound. Okay, now here comes an interesting one. The emi yaldin es behema biyomta v'lal misadin. Now you're not allowed to go ahead and deliver a calf, for example, that's being born on yontif. Okay, but you're allowed to assist the mother in giving birth to the calf. So again, you can't be the OBGYN for the cat, for the animal, but you can assist the animal in giving birth. So what does that mean? Ketza. Oches bivlad shlo yipol aretz. So let's say the calf is coming out. You're allowed to grab onto the calf to make sure it doesn't fall onto the ground. V'nofeach lo b'chotmo. Right? And you're allowed to blow into its nostrils. And you can literally place the teat from the mother into the calf's mouth. So you can guide it insofar as eating is concerned. Okay. Haisa behema tahora, virichacha esavlad. Now let's say the mother is a kosher animal and she doesn't have interest in her child. She's like acting in a manner where the calf is no interest in her. Mutulazalef mishil yasa alav. Okay. So you'd be allowed to go ahead and pour like the placenta over it, the litain bul melach birachma, and to put a chunk of salt, a block of salt, into her womb, kadesh tirachem alav. And somehow they thought this would cause her to have sympathy and mercy on the calf. So again, what we're trying to do is we're trying to repair that initial rift between mother and calf that you'd be allowed to do on yontif. Aval hatmeya, but when it comes to a non-kosher animal, asur lasos la. You can't do that when it comes to a behemoth tmeya because there's no need for the behemoth tmeya on yontif at all. So since there is some potential need for the behemoth tahara, that's why we mutter to do these things. Okay, halacha yitzayin, changing up again. Kli shenitzma b'erev yontif. Okay, so now let's say I have a cup and the cup became tameh on erev yontif. Ein matbilin oso b'yontif. I'm not allowed to do tvila of the kli on yontif. Why? Because the problem is that what it called? Because I'll leave it in the state of tuma, okay, until yontif starts. However, but let's say I need to go ahead and do tefila of the mayim that's in it. I can do tefila of the kli with the water inside. I'm not concerned about. I don't have to be concerned about that. Now kli shahaya tar l'truma. Now, let's say I have a kli that is tahor for truma. V'ratzo lahatbilo lekodesh, mutter lahatbilo. Okay, so if the kli was already tahor and I want to use it for hekdesh, I'd be allowed to do tefillah on that. V'chein kol chayotze bezeh matbilo shar hamalos. And in any other situation where I'm doing tefillah to move the thing up in its level of tahara, I'm allowed to do. We'll see much more of this when we get all the way down the road to the issues of tumah and tahara. Okay, Alach Yod Ches, continuing on this theme. Kli shenitma b'yomtov, matbilin oso b'yomtov. Now, if the kli becomes tamei on yomtov itself, I can't do tefil on yomtov. Nitzma ha-kli b'mashkin tmein, shehen vlad ha-tuma, me'erv yomtov, matbilin oso b'yomtov, v'shutar min ha-tara k'mo shi'sbar b'mkomo. So the Rambam says, let's say the kli became tamei with because it came into contact with certain tumei liquids, okay, which are considered a secondary form of tumah on Erev Yom Tov. I would be allowed to go ahead and do tefillah on a Yom Tov because it's tahor midaraisa and it's tumei midarabanan. And the Rambam will explain that again much later on. Umalan bidli tamei v'hu tahor me'ilav. You're allowed to go ahead and draw water from a well, okay, with a bucket that's tamei. Nida she'in la begadim lahachlif ma'aremes v'tevelos b'vegdiyah. This is an interesting one. If a woman's in nida and she needs to go do tefillah, okay, and she only has, oh, we'll see this also in Hilchos Nida, she only has the clothes that she's wearing, which are technically tamei, she would be allowed to go ahead, in a tricky way, harama is tricky, to do tefillah in the mikveh with her clothes on. Don't ask me how that works specifically, but that would be permitted in that situation. Okay, now, halacha yutes, this is going to be basically the theme, of, I think, until the end of the parak. Now we're going to get into, again, there is a relation to food, as you'll see, but now through the lens of business practices. So the Chachamim came up with all sorts of takanas to ensure that there was a barrier between us. I mean, obviously doing business in Yom Tov is Asur, but in certain situations, there was some business aspect that might be necessary for a person, for instance, to eat on Yom Tov. So you'll see in some of these cases how that works out. So, Lach Yotes, Dvarim Rabim Asur B'Yom Tov, Mishum Gzeras Mekach HaMemkar. So the many things that the Chachamim came along and said was Asur to do on Yom Tov because of the issue of being involved in business. Ketzat, Ein Poskin Damim L'Chatchila Ala Behema B'Yom Tov. Right? For instance, what can't you do? You can't set a price for an animal on Yom Tov. Ela mevi shtei behemo shava zulazu, right? Veshochten achas mehen, umlechakim benehen, right? Ulumacher yodin kama demei hashtia. Okay, so what can you do? So what you could do is that you could bring two animals, you can bring two animals that seem to be equal, okay? Shecht one of them, okay? And then split the meat up among anyone who's interested. Okay, ulamachar yodin. And tomorrow, what you'll know is kama demei hashnia. You can figure out the value of the second animal that you didn't shecht. V'kol echav echa nosin demei chalko. And then each person could divide it up. So again, what you would do is that let's say there was one animal that both of us wanted to make use of anyata, but you know the value of it. Bring the second animal that's as close to it as possible, that seems to be equal in value, and then this is a clever way to be able to get the money or pay the butcher without being over any isur, business matters. Ukashem mechalkim b'nehem, right? And when they actually divide up the meats, lo yomar ze ani besela v'ata b'shnayim, right? She'in maskirin shum damim, ela ze notol shlish v'ze revia. So you can't say that, let's say you're dividing up the meat, I can't say to you, you take like $5 worth and I'll take $20 worth. Rather, what you say is, I'll take a third of the animal and you take a quarter of the animal. So you can't use a monetary amount to differentiate splitting up the animal. Okay? Halacha chaf, kishehem mechalkin, when you go ahead and split up the meat, lo yishkulu b'moznayim. You can't use weights. You can't basically put it on a scale to find the weight of each one. Shehem mashgichin b'kaf moznayim kol ikar, because you're not allowed to do this on Yom Tov. You can't even, let's say you have like a scale that's suspended from the ceiling. I can't even put a meat into that if my purpose is to l'shamer min achbarim, to protect the meat from mice. Aser, okay? Even if the weights were being suspended, I still couldn't use it because it looks like I'm trying to go ahead and weigh meat on the scale, okay? V'tabach uman. Let's say you have a butcher who's an expert at he's an expert being a butcher. Also, lishko biado, he can't even use his hand to weigh out something. Right? It means there's obviously over time they have a certain their experience means that they kind of know what if it weighs this much, how much it's worth. He can't do that. He can't even use his hand to weigh something out. You can't use a container filled with water as a method of weighing meat, which would use volume measurements. Ve'matilin chaloshim ala manos. You're not allowed to. Okay, this is interesting. Also, you can't use a lottery system like lots to go ahead and determine the purchase of various meats. That was one thing they would do. They would use like a lottery system sometimes to dole out meat. But you would be allowed to use gorolos on kachim on Yom Tov, because what does that do? That makes you have a stronger attachment to the mitzvah. Okay, lo yomar adam l'tabach. A guy can't tell the butcher, ten li bedinar basar. So he can't say, give me, like, for instance, $10 worth of meat. Ella, ten li chelek or chatzi chelek. Rather, give me a chunk or half a chunk. Ulumachar osin cheshman al shavav. But the next day, he can go ahead and figure out how much it was worth. V'chein lo yikach mi ba'al achanas v'midah v'mishkal. I can't take a specific amount from the store. Elakesu du ose, what does he say? Omer lechenvani, he says to the storekeeper, malei li kli zeh, right? Fill up this kli. Ulumachar nosin lo shavav. And tomorrow, I'll pay the amount that I took. V'afilu haya kli amyuchal l'midah, even if it's a measuring kli, yimalenu v'hushalo yiskar lo shem mida. As long as I don't specify any measurement, it will be permitted to even use a kli that's set up for measuring. Malach chabez hanachdom, which is a baker, moded tavlin. Actually, in this case, it means a chef. Hanacht usually means baker, but anyway, hanachdom moded tavlin v'nosin l'kdeira b'shvil shel yafsin tavshilo. So you're allowed to, and this is important. When you're making food, you're allowed to measure out the tavlin and put it into the kdera. If it means by not doing that, the dish will be bad. But a woman, for instance, she's not allowed to go ahead and measure out the amount of flour she needs for dough. A person can't measure out how many, let's say, pieces of barley to feed to his animals. Rather, he approximates, he says, around this amount, we'll go ahead and give to the animal. He can estimate, but he can't count out exactly how much he wants to give. Let's finish the parak. It's three more halachas. Halacha gimel. Umutar likach mina chenvani beitzim egozim minyan. You're allowed to go ahead and take a number of eggs. I can buy a dozen of eggs from a storekeeper. V'chein kol chayotza behen. Uvilvad shelo yizkor lo shem damim v'lo sikum minyan. But I can't tell him, I can't remind him or talk about the fact that a dozen eggs cost like a couple bucks. Ketzad sikum minyan harei shahaya noshebo asari monim or asari gosim. So what does it mean, sikum minyan? What does it actually refer to? So let's say, for example, I owe you money for 10 pomegranates that I bought, okay? Lo yomar lo biyontov, ten li asara, so what does that mean? So you can't say, for instance, give me 10, so I'll owe you for 20. Rather, what I say is that I could take, let's say, that second 10, right, and just don't say anything about it, and the next day, do a cheshbon with the owner. So again, you have to avoid getting specific into the value of these objects. Halacha chav dalet, holech adam etzlo roe haragil etzlo. So I'm allowed to go to a shepherd that I know, I'm familiar with, or Eitzal Petem, Haragil Etzlo, or let's say, a different kind of shopkeeper, V'lokeach menu behemos v'ofos, kol ma she'irtzeh, v'hu shelo yizkolo sham damim v'lo sikum minyan. So let's say I have a guy down the block from me who's a farmer, I normally go and buy sheep from him during the week. I can go there and take a sheep to use on Yontav, because he knows this is, we do business with each other. I just can't mention any specific amount. Halacha chafei, okay. Halvas yomtov, okay. So this refers to loans. Okay, you're allowed to go ahead and start the process of demanding repayment of a loan. Okay, on yomtov tovin oso bedin, right? Sheim tomar lo nitna lehit avea eina nosin lo klum. It's an amazing idea. You're allowed to go ahead and start demanding payment back of a loan through the judicial system on Yontov. Why? Because if I know I won't be able to collect any money, it's going to take away from my Simchas Yontov. Of course, I'm not sure what that does for the borrower, but that's a separate question. And finally, the Rambam says in Halacha Chavav, Afal pi she'ein magbiin truma ma'isros b'yontov. So even though you're not allowed to be mafresh truma ma'isor on yontov, im hayulo trumos ma'isros shehigbion me'emesh, but let's say he had trumos ma'isros that he was mafresh yesterday, harei ze molichin the kohen yontov. You're allowed to give them to the kohen on yontov. Vein sarach lomar chala uzro l'chaim, v'kiba, right, shemolichin kohen yontov. So of course this includes both chala and the other matnos kahuna, the other, for instance, organs and various parts of an animal, that you're allowed to bring them to the Kohen Yontov. The Gabbait Staka, Govi Menachatzeres Yontov, the Gabbait Staka, who are the people who are in charge of collecting Staka for the poor of the city, they're allowed to go ahead and take food from the Chatzeres and Yontov. Below you machrizin kederek shemachshiji b'chol, they can't make an announcement that they're coming to take. Ella Govi Mitzina, they do in a very quiet manner. But nosim l'solchekon u'mechalkin l'kol shchuno shchuno v'nei atzma. They kind of hide it in their shirt and they distribute it to the neighborhoods as is necessary.